The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Against the AFC North, but you've got two games against the AFC North with Cincinnati. Again, remember that game was moved. I don't know if you're sitting around here looking at an old old ticket or an old schedule or something, but the game got flexed out, the first ever in the history of the NFL Thursday night game to get flexed. It got flexed to Sunday, so that game will be on Sunday. Also, the Dolphins game, which was originally scheduled for night, on Sunday night, December 29th, has been moved to a 4:05 kickoff. So all those things were announced yesterday, so don't get caught without knowing what's going on. And that Dolphins game is a home game, and we're still TBD on that last game of the season against the Baltimore Ravens, which could be a very, very meaningful game for Baltimore going into last week. And, you know, get a chance to play spoiler for the Browns in that situation. Obviously, the big story now for the last 3 weeks, or at least it seems like it could be the last 3 weeks, DTR will take over as a starting quarterback. At least that's what all the reports are saying from yesterday. And you kind of got
DTR is saying himself.
Yeah, well, I still never know until that coach actually says it. I'm just saying. I would think if he's saying it, though, he better be right. Otherwise, he's going to be
called into the principal's office.
Yes. So, and I know we got some folks that want to talk about this. Mike is in Hinckley. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. Just trying to figure it out. Is this the right thing to do, DTR?
You know, I listen to you guys all the time. It always sounds like you're having fun. Good information. I love you guys.
Thank you.
But we've got a problem with quarterbacks. So we know, right, correct me if I'm wrong, we know that the general manager, the coaching staff, is not really making the decisions when it comes to who comes into the building. But after they get in the building, who's the quarterback's coach? Do we have one? Is he any good?
Kevin Stefanski runs the show.
And Ken Dorsey was a quarterback.
I know, but we don't like we're making progress. It doesn't seem like we are.
Kevin's done a nice job with a variety of quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson hasn't been one of them.
No, you're right. You're right. Exactly right. We had a quarterback last year for, like, what, six games?
And Chad O'Shea is the pass game coordinator, so I don't know if they technically – is that where you're going? He's also the wide receivers coach, though, too. So,
I don't know. As an organization, it doesn't seem like we have football people
Ashton
making
Grant
decisions
too,
about the starting quarterback. So my point is, I just think ownership is too involved. Let the guys that know the game hire the people they want to play. So,
Mike, you're making an assumption there that a lot of people have made that I can't disagree with, but there's no way you bring in Deshaun Watson unless ownership either.
No,
at the very least, they have to sign off on it, so they have to approve it.
Yeah, I think we're done with him. I think we are. So who we got left in the room? We got DTR, which, you know, we don't know, really. He's played 100, you guys said 140 games or something.
Snaps.
You got Jameis, yeah, and you've got Bailey Zappi, who started in New England for a handful of games.
So we got two left to try. Not going to be Watson, not going to be Winston. So we got to coach those two left to maybe make a couple of wins here.
Yep.
To let us look forward to next year. That's all I'm saying.
All righty. Thank you, Mike. It is kind of convoluted on, you know, like someone says, well, who's the actual quarterback's coach, right? And so, I mean, technically it's Ashton Gray is listed as the quarterback's coach. But then you've got, you know, your head coach is an offensive guy. Your offensive coordinator is a former quarterback. And then you've also got two pass game coordinators. One wide receiver, one tight end, Tommy Rees and Chad O'Shea. This team has a lot of coaches. There's no question about that. Didn't we figure out at one point they have a coach for every starter.
Three or four players or something.
One for every starter.
But they're not alone, Andy. NFL teams are just loaded with coaches.
I am going to be really interested to see how many coaches Bill Belichick has. Because remember, I mean, his staffs at New England were like him
smaller
and his
than
kids.
Most. Yeah, smaller.
Him,
than
his most. Kids, and the next coach of reference to be up for the next job, right? How often did that happen? All the time.
It was like when Larry Bird was the head coach of the Indiana Pacers. While most other teams seemed to have four, five, six assistant coaches, Larry had two.
Yeah. You need an offensive and a defensive guy. That's it, right? NBA?
We're just two guys. You know, in theory, you should be able to coach it all, shouldn't you?
As long as you have some people to do some rebounding and throw some passes in every once in a while, someone's got to roll the ball rack in, too, in the NBA.
That's usually the way that works.
It's a very, very important gig in that situation. Do we have anything else we need to know about DTR? Can you help me out a little bit?
Well,
more?
Andy, I got stuff all day.
Well, I'm just, you are the man on this. So
you want more?
Yeah, give me some more.
DTR was actually the third leading receiver on that team his junior year. He caught 22 balls, 397 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Cedric Tillman was the sixth leading receiver on the team. 8 catches for 73 yards.
Maybe he's going to play wide receiver this
week. I don't know. Maybe he's going to start at wide receiver.
Maybe this is all kind of, well, DTR is going to start. Start where? Oh, at wide receiver.
And Elijah Moore is going to start at quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin, you got us good on this one. You got us good.
So DTR was a pretty good wide receiver, which is nice.
Let me throw this one at you. You ready?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins benched. Any interest? Do you want him here?
In what?
In him being the quarterback here next year, if they could figure that out. I'd love to see the math Olympics on that to make it happen.
That's up to deeper thinkers than us.
Just as a football player, would you want him here? Forget if the money didn't matter.
Can I have Kirk Cousins before like the last 6 or 7 games?
No. You get what you're getting.
You know what Kirk Cousins has been doing like crazy, Andy?
I know you're going to say it. Go ahead and say it.
Throwing interceptions.
Yeah, we're getting good at that around here.
He's been throwing interceptions like crazy. Here's the thing. If there's anybody in the league who knows Kirk Cousins fairly well, it's Kevin Stefanski.
Right.
And if Kevin thinks that Kirk Cousins is a better option than anything else here, then you're darn right I want him. And if Kevin doesn't think he's a better option than anything else here, then no, I don't want him. Because you're gonna have to figure out a way to make that work. Falcons for this year, are you sitting, Andy?
Huh?
This, according to Pro Football Talk, are paying Cousins $62.5 million. He has a, yeah, exactly. For next year, Cousins has a fully guaranteed $27.5 million. With another $10 million that becomes fully guaranteed in 2026 on the fifth day of the 2025 league year. But as Mike Florio points out, as starting quarterbacks go, that $27.5 million that he's guaranteed for next year is less than the top of the current market for quarterbacks because it was all front-loaded.
Do you think they could get Penix? Do you think Penix can get them? They play the Giants.
I don't know. Have
the
any
Commanders
idea.
And the Panthers.
I don't have any idea.
I'm just saying Tampa's only 8-6 in that NFC South.
They obviously in think the there's NFC an garbage. Issue. So
yeah. I mean, they're still at 7-7. They still have a strong chance of overtaking Tampa if they can beat.
Well, sure
they
do.
Just beat the Raiders. They lost four in a row before that. Imagine if they would have just pulled out their game against the Saints that they lost by three. Now the other games they got walloped. Broncos.
Jameis has thrown 12 or 9 interceptions in the last four games, right? But he's thrown a bunch of touchdown passes too.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins had that big game against Dallas back in early November.
Yeah, they put 27 on.
And they've played 5 games since, and he has 1 touchdown pass and 9 interceptions.
And 1 win.
So he's basically on the same path that Jameis has been on. But he's also recovering from an Achilles, and he's not young. I sincerely mean this. If Kevin Stefanski thinks, okay, another year out from the Achilles, he's going to be much, much better. And Cousins apparently has a no-trade clause, which I don't know if he'd be willing to waive. And I say that for this reason. His in-laws live in the Atlanta area. And it's one of the reasons, from all accounts, that he signed with the Falcons, that plus all that guaranteed money, $62 million this year. And he moved his family to Atlanta. Well, if you're an NFL player and you get all that money guaranteed and you're coming off a torn Achilles and you're in your late 30s and your wife's from Atlanta and your in-laws are in Atlanta, why would you want to leave Atlanta? Unless you think you still want to be a starting quarterback and you have something to prove at the age of, 37?
So are you saying you'd retire? What would you do if you were him?
I'm the backup and I'm getting paid $27.5 million and my kids are with their grandparents and my wife's happy and I got more money in the bank because I've been the most well-paid quarterback in the history of the game for being the most opportunistic guy ever. That guy's been so opportunistic. All those franchise tags they put on him in Washington. Maybe Kirk Cousins just says, you know what? I'm good. Maybe he does. I doubt it because that's not the way starting quarterbacks are programmed. They're not wired that way. But maybe he could. Happy wife, happy life.
True that.
And you're not going to get a whole lot happier than $62 million guaranteed this year, are you?
No.
I mean,
hold the clipboard and then maybe even make the playoffs and get a little bit more there, too. If Penix can get you a win or two here. Right?
I don't know.
All right, let's do this. Let's bring Andrew Siciliano in next. Don't forget, Kevin Stefanski coming up at noon. What will he say about the quarterback situation? You will find out in less than an hour right here. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Hey, and not Thursday, tomorrow night? Yeah, tomorrow night, because the game got changed. So the Browns and the Bengals coming up at 1 o'clock on Sunday. You'll be able to hear the game on the Browns Radio Network with this voice, who I heard on Hard Knocks Inside, the AFC North last night. He is Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Hi, Andrew. Good morning, boys. Did you see Gibby in the background as well at the radio studio at the Cross Country Mortgage Fieldhouse?
Was he in the – I saw some other people. I don't know that I – he may have had a really quick cameo. Was that
– He did.
During Denzel Ward?
He was in the window there. When Denzel Ward was walking into the radio studio, he got surprised by JW and by Nicole, his mother. There and you saw Gibby flashing, I mean, like football term.
Wow,
yes. Like flashing in the background there through the window. Yes,
wow. Well, look at him, big time. You're not gonna be able to walk in the booth with him next week.
He's big.
He's Mr. No, I love working with him. I think he's awesome.
Of course.
I was going to make a joke, and then I'm like, that's not worth it.
No,
it's not. Andrew, it looks like we have a change of quarter, a permanent change. Well, I don't know. Is it permanent? What is it? Help me out. What are they doing at quarterback?
It's a week-to-week league, my friend.
Yes,
it is. It's always a week-to-week league.
It's hour-to-hour, day-to-day, second-to-second.
I mean, it truly is a week-to-week league. Yeah. Just, I mean, look at the headlines on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. I would think it's for the last three games of the year, you know, barring an injury or barring something dramatic. And listen, I think it's the right thing, and I will use the phrase, both can be true, multiple times this week. Number one, love Jameis. He's a gem. Want the best for him. You know, if he's back next year, that's great. The ride was amazing. And if it's Jameis this week, if Kevin Stefanski surprises us in 36 minutes and says it's Jameis, then so be it. Let's go have fun and let's go try to outscore the Bengals. I think it'll be a fun game regardless. If it's DTR, I think it's the right move. you kind of owe it, I think, organizationally, to see what you have. To give him three consecutive games, assuming he stays healthy through those three games, which I hope he can, and I have no doubt he will, to see what he could do. You know, he had the back-to-back starts last year where he actually knew he was going to start and was able to play and was able to prep. There was the game against the Steelers, which wasn't the prettiest, but he led the game-winning drive at the end. He was, I think, playing reasonably well there against the Broncos in Denver before he got hit and had to leave. And then Joe Flacco took over the next week in L.A., and we know the rest and the history from there. So it's a fifth-round pick. You kind of have to see what he can do. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? What's the best that can happen? The best that can happen is he lights it up and he can really play and he got something. You know, there's an in-between in which, hey, I've seen enough where he could be the backup. There's also the world where somebody else sees something where they really want him and they call up the Browns in the offseason and say, hey, you know, we'll take him off your hands. You know, there's no harm in playing him, and it's the right time to do it.
I'm assuming, and you know what happens when you assume, if they wanted to see more of Jameis, if they thought he was an option to be the starter next year, he would remain the starter for the final three games. So I assume that because they don't want to continue to work with him and maybe work out some of those interception issues and maybe see if he can't get more informed with the offense, that this means that, hey, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Good luck to you for Jameis.
I think it's a fair assumption, but at the same time, I would never, ever say never. I mean, I've seen crazier things happen. Look, the Atlanta Falcons gave $100 million to a quarterback and then took another quarterback in the top 10. So I've seen far, far, far crazier things happen. I also think that they know what Jameis is. They know who he is, certainly. That's the most important thing. And it's time to see what they have in DTR. They have a body of work for Jameis, and if they choose to bring him back. Guys, remember, he was only making $4 million this year, only in the grand scheme of things. Right, the Atlanta Falcons right now owe Kirk Cousins 27.5 next year and potentially 10 in 2026, and they don't intend to play him anymore. So for $4 million they got for Jameis Winston, it was a bargain. The question is, what is Jameis's market going to be? 3 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, you know, before all the picks really came raining down, I guarantee you, matter of fact, I know there were teams around the league going, you know what, maybe Jameis is our bridge guy next year. Right? What's the number for him in 2025 that maybe we could get him if we maybe are in the market for a rookie quarterback and need that bridge guy? There's going to be a market for Jameis. Don't know where it's going to be. I would never say never for back here.
What else do you want to see? Like, what do you need to learn about this team over the next 3 weeks?
I'm interested to see. I'd like to see more from Mike Hall. I'd like to see more from Isaiah McGuire. I think, you know, the defense, I know you guys have gone over this probably plenty the last 3 days, but the defense did make some plays this past week, and both McGuire and Hall were in the middle of it. Mike Hall in one of those downfield shots by Patrick Mahomes, it just planted Mahomes in the turf. I think that's very positive. I think Miles Harden played reasonably well also. Mm-hmm. In his NFL debut, Cam Mitchell, same goes for him. So the younger pieces, as many of the younger pieces. I'd love to see Jabari Thrash get on the field. I'd love to see, hopefully, fingers crossed, Cedric Tillman get back this week.
Yes.
And he can pick up where he left off before the Patrick Queen forearm that was unflagged to the face.
I'm curious, what have you thought of the limited times that we've been able to see DTR? And clearly a guy who started a lot of games at a big-time, you know, big-time school.
Yeah, 50-plus games at UCLA with Chip Kelly and, you know, running a complex system. He can handle the offense. He can make plays with his legs. I really like him. Obviously, look, guys, we've seen for 2 years in the preseason, he played pretty well. Haven't seen it enough in the regular season. I would have loved to see him get a chance to go for it on 4th and 16, you know, where they had the penalty last week and decided to punt. He completed that ball on 4th and 11 and got the first down. I think he can press the ball downfield. I think he can make plays with his legs. There were glimpses in that Cincinnati game when Deshaun went down where he got in there and you're like, all right, okay, I can see this. First play from scrimmage, remember what he did? He saw one-on-one with Cedric Tillman, his high school teammate, on the right side. And I was like, I'm taking a shot. I'm giving my guy a chance. Obviously, he's got to cut down on the picks. And I would love to see him not leave his feet all the time in the pocket because, you know, he's taking some big hits back there. He's not the biggest guy. Protect yourself more so in the pocket than in the run game. That to me is huge.
We're going to hear from Kevin coming up here a little bit late, about a half hour away now from Kevin Stefanski's press conference. I was kind of happy he was upset after the game the other day. And yeah. I felt like his demeanor was correct. You can't give the ball away six times in any given day. I don't know if you know. Did you notice that? Did you notice his frustration? And what does that mean for him for the rest of the season too?
I mean, I don't know what it means for him. It's his job to get the team ready the last three games, and it's the players' job to get themselves ready. It's not a one man band there. It's everyone in it together. The six turnovers were just brutal. There's a turnover on downs in there as well, so don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really seven. One of them coming on special teams, obviously. So you can't do that, and you're not going to do. Look, if you do that this week against the Bengals, you're going to lose by 30. Cincinnati, this is the best Bengals offense they have ever had. You make that argument. Boomer Esiason, Ken Anderson, Carson Palmer, Akili Smith, that was a joke. This is as good of an offense as they have had. They're averaging 28.5 points a game. They're averaging 271 yards in the air. It would be the most points per game by a team to miss the playoffs since the Bucs did it the year before, with Jameis actually, before Tom Brady showed up in 2019 where they scored 28.5 a game. So Joe Burrow is having the best bad team quarterback season maybe ever. So they turn the ball over six times, they're going to get blown out this week.
I find it interesting that they're making a change when you're going up against a Bengal team that's not the greatest pass defense. Because you would think that this might be an opportunity for Jameis to put up those huge Denver numbers, maybe without a couple of interceptions returned for touchdowns, Andrew.
It's a great opportunity for DTR to go out
and find his footing.
Right. It's Michael Penix against the Giants this week. That's convenient as well.
Certainly is.
Yeah, and look, we've seen crazy 80, 90 point games in Cincinnati, haven't we?
Yes,
and
sir.
Might this be one of them?
Would do wonders for DTR's confidence if he could go out and throw for 250 yards and three touchdowns, you know?
It would also be fun, wouldn't it? I mean, say what you want about Jameis, and I know a lot has been said. As I said, I love the guy. Those games were fun. I mean, last week was not, certainly. We all know that. But those games were fun. So fun factor needs to carry a lot of weight here.
But that's part of it. It's an entertainment industry.
Sure, of course it is. You also like to win the game.
Well, sure.
I'm just cherry-picking stats here for you. The Bengals' four losses in which they've scored 30 points, tied for the most by any team in NFL history. They are 1-2 this year when scoring 38 points. The rest of the NFL is 27-2.
Oh boy, I'm just listening to that. It's just so weird. You know, you got a quarterback who, if they even just had two or three more wins, we'd be talking about him being MVP or having the chance
Burrow,
to be.
Yeah, Joe Burrow has three or more touchdown passes in six straight games, which is the fourth longest streak since the merger. In 70, and it's the first time it's been done since Andrew Luck did it in eight straight games. He also has five losses this year in which he threw three or more touchdowns, which is the most by any quarterback in the 105-year history of the game.
Let me go Bengals-centric on you. Any way they're able to re-sign T. Higgins when they're going to have to give a lot of money to Jamar Chase and they're giving a lot of money to Joe?
That's a lot of money.
I know it is.
That's a lot of money in
T.
one
Higgins
room.
Is really good.
He's really good, but look, Joe Burrow has pounded the table for him. Like, after that Monday night game in Dallas, he said it point blank, like, I will be disappointed if T is not here. Well, of course he'll be disappointed, but the way he said it as a team leader, I think, carries a heck of a lot more weight. It's just a lot of money, and they've got to give Jamar. So Jamar Chase's contract starts at $35 million a year, because that's what Justin Jefferson got. He's not going to get a penny less than what Justin Jefferson got. So $35 million a year, you want to adjust for 1 year inflation last year to this year, I'd say it starts at $35.5 to $36 million a year. And that's why it's always better to do the contract sooner. Now, there's always regret. Like, I don't know, the Jaguars, depending on who their new coach turns out to be, they might regret the contract they gave Trevor Lawrence, or the Dolphins to Tua with his health issues, but they knew that coming in. It is always better to do the contract early, because the longer you wait, the Bengals waited, the price only goes up. The Bengals, and I'm not saying anything people don't know, are not a big cash spend team, and never, ever have been. When they gave Joe Burrow that massive contract, before that contract, the largest check, like signing bonus, guaranteed money, how about that, phrase it this way, that they had ever given out was to Orlando Brown, the offensive tackle who's banged up right now, who they got from Kansas City a couple of years ago. And that signing bonus was like $20 million or something like that, or whatever it was. Before then, the largest guarantee they had ever given, ever, was to Carson Palmer for like $19 million, like 15 years ago.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
They don't spend cash.
No.
So there's a reason those two guys haven't signed yet, because they're going to wait to the very last minute, and the price is only going to go up.
Makes sense, Andrew. All right, we will talk to you on Sunday. Looking forward to that and seeing you on Sunday, or at least hearing from you on Sunday. So we will hear you on the Browns Radio Network, Browns and Bengals Sunday. Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Look forward to it, guys. Happy holidays.
Talk to you soon. Happy holidays and to you, too. Andrew Siciliano, Browns Radio Network on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So the NBA Cup is one
stop
less
right thing. There. You've got me. You've got me at NBA Cup.
You're hooked. It's very good. Make sure you wear your NBA cup because you don't want to get hurt. I'm just saying that. Okay?
That's funny.
The Milwaukee Bucks won last night, right? Congratulations to the Bucks. They won the NBA cup.
And all their young guys were all giddy.
I'd be giddy too if I were them too.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, their salaries aren't very big and they're getting a half mil for Giannis going off. Thank you, Giannis.
Take that, right? That's, you know, that's double some of their salaries, right?
Oh, that's
especially for the young guys, rookies. That's
significant.
So that's big bucks. Here's what I love about this story. Okay, so they went to go celebrate after the game, and they were like, I don't know about the champagne. Assistant coach Darvin Ham, you know, they won the NBA Cup last year when he was with the Lakers. And he was just like, you know what? He told Doc Rivers, he's like, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. No champagne. Say it's early in the season. This isn't our real goal. It's nice that we were able to get some points in a game that was meaningless, and we were able to make some money, especially for the younger guys. But let's face it, we're in fifth place right now. We're 14-11, and we won a couple of mid-season, regular season games, and now they're going to give us this cup for it. And he said no to the bubbly. I love that. That's a team that has bigger goals and aspirations than winning a meaningless cup in the middle of the season. And so, to me, that's someone who's got their head on straight and a franchise that wants its players moving in the right direction. Congratulations on winning, and I think that's cool. I'm glad they got the money, and, you know, they won the game, and the guys played hard last night. And, you know, so it is what it is. But the fact that they didn't do the champagne after the game,
yeah,
bravo.
Well, let me take it a step further. I wonder, will the Haslams be able to bring the NBA Cup to a Browns game so that we can all celebrate?
There's only one left.
And could they bring the champagne to Cleveland to celebrate
the end of the season?
The home win over the Dolphins coming up on the 29th.
If we're celebrating a fourth win, or perhaps if you're optimistic, a fifth win.
Yeah, Bubba.
On the season with champagne, because things are over, it is time to shut down the franchise. Well, that's a problem.
Might be a valid point.
That is a problem. Are you good with that? They didn't do champagne last night?
Yeah, sure.
At the game?
Why not?
It's very much like, you know, baseball is like overload on champagne.
Oh, but baseball was nuts.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it was silly.
The one game wild card champagne was always to me like, really?
If you won the whole thing and you celebrated the whole way, isn't that like four champagne celebrations?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's a little much, isn't
it? Dan, can you agree with that or not? Because I know you're a hardcore baseball guy and you think that champagne should be there at every moment. But
champagne should be enjoyed in a glass, not sprayed in my goggles.
Yes. Oh, that burns.
I don't care.
That's the spirit.
If you want to celebrate it, sure, go celebrate it. There if you don't go. Want to celebrate it, fine, don't celebrate it. I can see both sides to wanting to do it. It's one of those things that falls under the, like, great, live your life. Has no ramifications on mine.
Yeah, but like in baseball, in those one-game wild-card playoffs, you know, a guy hits, I mean, he was hitting 750 in that playoff series because it was one game. I mean, you should really be celebrating that.
I'm saying
when it was a one-game
series. Oh, you're saying
when
it was. Sorry. Again, to each their own. Whatever. Life is short. You may as well celebrate and enjoy it.
All right, I might make the argument that the Cavaliers actually won the NBA Cup by getting all this time off, all this rest that they're getting. And they got to chill in Miami for, like, what, 3 or 4 days?
And they play Milwaukee coming up.
Oh, that'll be a grudge match, won't it? Best team in the NBA against the NBA Cup winners. Who will win?
And you've got a hot team though in the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. See, if you're this is what you have in the Eastern Conference right now. Because the Cavs jumped out hot, and they've stayed that way.
They're still hot. Yeah.
The Milwaukee Bucks were terrible. They were 2-8 in their first 10 games, but they've really come on. And so you assumed that they were going to get going. And they, you know, they have championship pedigree. They have Doc Rivers, who, you know, decide what you think about Doc. I personally think he's a good coach, and I think they're going to be one of those teams that, okay, they're probably not going to finish first or second, but boy, you sure don't want to see them in the playoffs, you know. And will Philadelphia get there? I'm hard pressed to think they will, Andy. They're pretty beat up right now.
Yeah, a long way to go. They're like the Detroit Lions of the NBA.
Could you imagine though? Let's just say you get to late March and all of a sudden Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey and friends are all healthy, and they end up as a 7 seed, an 8 seed. You want to see them in a first round? That's, you know, assuming they're all healthy and everything else.
They're 8-16 right now. Philly's 8-16.
They're in trouble. And now Embiid has a busted up face. He's out a little longer.
They're only a game and a half away, though, from that 10 spot that would get you to the play-in.
That's the thing. If a team like that gets hot late and healthy, keyword healthy, and can even get into the play-in tournament, who wants to play them, man? I don't want to play them. That's why the East is still going to be very interesting the rest of the way.
Yeah, so I mean, you're looking at the Cavs have a game and a half lead on the Celtics right now. Man, they have a 6.5 game lead on the Knicks, and they're in third place. That's impressive. That really is impressive. What's amazing is the Wizards are the worst team in the East. They are 18.5 back.
Boy, they're a mess, man.
18.5 back.
They are a mess.
I got more basketball I want to talk about here coming up in a little bit, so we'll do that. Also, Kevin Stefanski, his press conference will be coming up here shortly.
Pre-practice report for the Browns here. Martin Emerson will not practice today with a concussion. Shelby Harris dealing with an elbow injury. He will not practice. David Njoku not practicing either with the hamstring.
All right, back after this. We'll hopefully hear it from Kevin Stefanski.